and I just learned the best spell of all.
What's that?
Sleep.
I do. Okay, I'm gonna start. I started recording. I'm gonna do the intro. Okay, so everybody be quiet. Welcome back to My Alchemical Bromance. This is Eric Arneson, and I'm here tonight with our returning guest, Nathan Lee, or a cult fan, if you know him on the internet. He's like a cult fan on Twitter, and a cult fan on Discord, and like a cult fan, I don't know, maybe everywhere. Does your driver's license say a cult fan?
It's on my birth certificate.
Oh yeah, a cult fan.
And if I ever cut myself shaving, it like literally bleeds out, oh, cult. It's really cool.
Oh, it just spells it in the air, and then, oh, what a mess.
Effervescent.
Yeah. So Nate, you just got your... Or you got your fellow craft degree a couple months ago.
Yes, February, I believe.
Okay, and then... So you went through the fellow craft degree, and then you went through... you had a name for it that was not the same that we used, but you basically did your... You returned your memory work to the Lodge, right?
Lodge of Instruction.
Yeah, right? Okay. Yeah.
Yeah, LOI. That's what we call it in Massachusetts.
Interesting. Well, you just call it a proficiency. So you just have to prove your proficiency with the candidate.
Oh, sorry. I think we're talking about two different things.
Okay.
Yeah, no. Do you guys call your lodges for study? Because some people call them like a lodge of learning or something. But we call it, but I'm talking.
You're talking about when you go and somebody sort of walks you through how all the ritual works and stuff.
It's like the backup. Yeah. Like the lesson after the fact. Go on.
We do have a name for that. I never go to them, so I can't remember what they're called. I think it's just called a Blue Lodge proficiency or a Blue Lodge training, I think is what we call it.
Blue Lodge training. So now what we're talking about is the midway point between where you have to recite some things that you've learned, and that I believe that's just a proficiency for us or something like that.
Yeah. Did you have to do that?
Oh, no. Now, here's the thing. A lot of up until recently, apparently a lot of lodges had not been doing that.
Really?
Like the first wave of cadets who came in that were doing it.
Uh-huh. And
what was more interesting, I guess, or in addition to that, I got that twice. For my first degree, we had to do it unto second. And then and the rest of the guys didn't in my cohort. There was a family member that I was initiated at the first degree with who ended up getting his degrees like rapid fire right afterwards. So I ended up kind of like joining a secondary cohort. And so they didn't have to do it for the first, is my point. I did. Then I joined a bunch of brothers who did have to do it for the second. So I got to do it twice. And I'm saying I got to, because I feel like it's a privilege that I was able to go through that. I feel like there's, you know, once you get to three, you know, then, you know, you can look back and stuff. But going through it, I at least got as much as I could out of it to finish that up. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Grateful. Yeah. Yeah. Well, that's cool. I feel like, you know, in Oregon, we're pretty strict about the memory work. You have to do the memorization stuff for each degree. And there is an alternate education thing. But a lot of lodges don't really let you do it unless you're like super old and can't memorize stuff or something like that. But to me, the memorization part is kind of one of the core practices in Freemasonry, and without that memorization, you're losing a lot of what Freemasonry has to offer. So I'm glad. Good job that you did that. Congratulations.
Thank you. I appreciate that. I agree with you. The memory work, that's like a strength of mind kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
Are we drinking? Dude, we're like doing the same thing. Is that like filtered water?
I'm just drinking water.
You know, I knew exactly. Filtered water, yeah.
Yeah.
I got mine in a mason jar appropriately.
Oh, yeah. I live in Portland, so we don't have to filter our water. My water is just naturally good. It comes out good.
Oh, you guys are killing me. You know, can't wait. So you're actually in the Portland, Oregon, right?
Yeah, and I'm actually in the city, and our water is delicious and wonderful, and it comes from – it falls like right out of the sky and –
Do you guys like, how do you not have pollution up there like us in Boston? How?
Oh, we've got pollution. In fact, Portland, my neighborhood actually has really bad air because we had this, and this, it was just, there's this regulation oversight. There was this glass factory not too far from here, like maybe.
Oh, no.
Maybe three quarters of a mile from here.
Particulates in the air, or is it smog?
It's worse. There's hexavalent chromium. I don't know what that means. I just know that's one of the...
I'm nodding my head. Thumbs up, dude. You said it.
There's arsenic. In fact, they've told us that we shouldn't eat leafy greens that are grown in our neighborhood right now.
Now, see, that's why I was wondering about your water, because if that part of the biosphere is schmagoigled, then the rest is schmagoigled. Then the rest of it's going to be schmagoigled too, yeah?
Well, there's no escaping it. There's no escaping it. I'm a man in an affair with arsenic right now. I just love arsenic. I mean, I
actually have a song. I'm going to quote you on that. I have a song called Arsenic, Arsenic on one of my albums. So yeah, you get to have that one.
You can use the soundbite.
I think that it fits somehow arcanely for the remix.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, I use a Berkey filter for my water. Frankly, I have I have an arsenic filter on my thing.
I'm not too worried about it. You know, I mean, if you start getting enough arsenic buildup to get poisoned, you'll notice, right? Like, things will happen. You'll get like those lines on your fingernails, or drop dead, or you'll
become
obsessed with Cary Grant movies. I'm not sure how that works.
That's where I was going with. You read my mind. I'm like, yes. I was like, you can get some Iocane, yes.
Yeah.
I'm glad you're rolling down a hill. Yeah, no, good one, man. That's where I was going with that. You know, that makes me think of Dark Crystal and, you know, like Labyrinth. I tend to group those movies together.
Well, they are pretty dark, and they've got puppety things going on. I don't know Labyrinth very well, but I've seen Dark Crystal pretty recently.
Mm-mm. You know, I feel like that's kind of like in the air lately, that movie with the Skixies and Gelflings?
Gelflings, yes.
Nice. Gelflings. Used to have a board game of that. It's so weird to think about how things used to be, and I say used to be like 1970s, but like...
Yeah.
And I'm born in 84, so I mean, like, I just got to grow up with like only a Nintendo. You know, I mean, like, there's no internet ish for us, the plebeians, you know, no military secrets for us yet. But you know, just the facts, ma'am, you know what I'm saying?
Right. I was born in the 70s, but I got the internet pretty early. Actually, I think the first
Did you?
Yeah, my mom had access to, it was a school teacher, so she had computers pretty early on, and so we had a computer in the house pretty early, like an Apple II clone or something like that. And then I think I got on the internet for the first time in maybe like 92 93.
I was gonna ask, okay, you got it like about six or yeah I was about 98, so you did get it early. You did. And you were a bit older than you. What are you, 77? What year?
I was born 75.
Okay 75 is a wish you were here year.
We went over this last time.
Oh, did we? Okay, sorry.
No, it's okay.
We can bypass it. No, we don't need to do that again.
Well, let's get back to your Fellowcraft degree. So one of the things I really like about the Fellowcraft degree is it's memory. You know, they talk about memory in the Fellowcraft degree, but it's also kind of like intellectual, right? It has a sort of like categories of human knowledge where you go up this, you know, I don't want to give away any secrets, but
that's what we're going to tread carefully.
Well, I mean, we can talk about the stuff that's in Preston's lecture, because it's been published since the 1790s.
And I mean, like, also, like, you've listened to, just let me interject. Have you listened to the Whence? I want to like give a shout out to the Whence Came You podcast.
I've listened to it a little bit. Yeah.
So like I'm like, sometimes when I'm listening, especially because I'm still a week away from master. I'm still like new, and I'm like, wait, can he say that? Is that okay? How do I feel about?
I
all find ourselves doing that.
We do, and I mean, the thing is, like, you know, if you
great get... show, by the way.
I think I have listened to it a couple times. I've also been listening to Ex Oriente, which is another Masonic podcast.
That's new to me.
The theme song gets stuck in my head, though.
Oh, that. Dun, 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 dun.
It's like,
dun,
dun, dun, dun, dun. It's sort of like, do, 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 do. I don't.
Oh, I was doing the Whence Came You one. The Whence Came You one's got like a ukulele-ish thing.
I'll have to check it out.
Yeah, it makes me think of, just to finish the idea, it makes me think of the cover of Somewhere Over the Rainbow and What a Wonderful World by Is, you know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's what it always reminds me of. All right, just moving forward.
So in the Fellowcraft degree, so in the Honored Apprentice degree, it's mostly about secrecy, you know, and then you get to the lecture, and the parts that are written out there's like this long catalog of symbols. I'll include a link to the Entered Apprentice tracing boards that people can sort of see, but like there's this long catalog of symbols, and they'll be like, all of this is is non-secret, and it's in our monitor, and it's published in, like, the, you know, Alan Roberts book about the symbols of Freemasonry.
Yet we feel the need to couch it in that at the same time. You know, that's very interesting to me personally. And I mean, we can talk about that, you know, in a different setting, but yeah.
Well, I mean, it's interesting, like, and I know this is different from jurisdiction to jurisdiction and from ritual to ritual, but, like, we have, you know, if you look at the ritual, the cipher for the ritual for Oregon, there are parts that are written out plainly, and then there are parts that are secret, and sometimes it'll switch right in the middle of a paragraph. And it's just so fascinating. Yeah. Like, who decided? At some point, there was some sort of ritual committee that went through, and they're like, oh God, we can't let anybody see this part. We better put this sentence has to be in cipher while the rest of the paragraph is just plain text.
I've only seen, I'm not going to go into that, but I believe if I can say, geez, mm-hmm. I don't know. It was a particular part that made sense that wasn't happening, but then the rest of it was.
Yeah, yeah. I think some of it really does. But in our Entered Apprentice lecture, anyhow, it's just interesting what's secret and what's not.
Our Entered Apprentice is completely ciphered up. It's the fellow craft has just a bit. And I mean, like, I believe this is well within saying that this is not part of our rituals. This is not part of any of our modes or mm-hmm. anything like that. So I believe we're in good water here.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, and that's fascinating too. Like, I honestly, I've never been to a lodge in Massachusetts, and I've never seen a degree over
You're
there.
More than welcome.
Well, it's a long bus ride.
Gosh, I know. I mean, it's a far, far a fetch, but you know, I was going to say we have MasonicCon coming up this month on the 28th. Just to put that out there for any brothers who are interested in going to that, or anyone, I think it's open.
Okay, cool.
It is open to the public.
I'll look that up and put that in the show notes too, so that people on the East Coast can know about that.
Could I add one? This is the logical follow-up thought that goes there, and if I didn't say it, it wouldn't matter. But it's better to do it here than anywhere else, which is to say that there is a night before that at Bog Iron Brewery in Norton, Massachusetts. It's like a pregame. There will be there are tickets on Eventbrite I can give you for the thing. And I'll finish this up by saying that they're going to be brewing two special beers that are only available for this.
Nice.
So it's going to be a pretty rad thing. Yeah. I thought we should add that. I think
that sounds
that's
cool.
A very good.
Yeah. That sounds awesome. So anyhow, but the lectures that we use in Oregon for the Entered Apprentice and the Fellowcraft and the Master Mason are all based on the William Preston lectures. And most of that is printed in Illustrations of Masonry, which is his sort of magnum opus. So, you know, some of the symbols like the staircase or like when we talk about the form of a lodge, like those are things that are already in print.
I love the staircase part.
Oh yeah. The staircase is incredible.
Even, it means so much to me.
Yeah. Even what we call the geometry lecture, I'm sure you guys have something equivalent to that with even most of that is written out.
I mean that part when it you know, I'm gonna say when you know what I'm saying, when that happens. I loved that. That was amazing for our it wasn't like super ornate or anything, mm-hmm. but when that happened, I was just like, I got the oh. a little bit of the feels. I got the feels, man. And it was and that's what it's designed for.
Oh yeah.
It was effective, and I really enjoyed it.
Oh yeah. And you know, I mean, here's a little Easter egg for people to look up if you're not a Mason and you're like super into like weird conspiracy theories and symbols and stuff. Get Illustrations of Masonry, read the Fellowcraft Ritual, and then if you have a chance, go to open houses for Masonic lodges and pay attention to how their stairs are built. And you'll be like, holy crap, what the heck? Every once in a while, you'll come across a lodge where somebody's gotten super nerdy with the stairs.
Ezekiel-based lodge. Okay, so I can say this as a year ago, I was mm-hmm. a non-Mason. This is so amazing how this works. Like, grand clock indeed. Like, synchronicity, you know what I'm talking about. This,
yeah.
All learning is remembering. So
right.
To say that
anamnesis.
Yeah, exactly. I'm not even going to try to
anamnesis.
Powdered cocoa drink from Leith. You just add Leith. It's going to add the remembering with the forgetting. It's a hell of a trip. All right. Paradoxes aside, Heugavolt. Let's say the idea that we were just saying was Ezekiel Bates's lodge last year, and I was a non-Mason. I noticed going up the stairs. We're going up, like, you know what I'm saying? They have different names on each of them. It's, I mean, like, I can say, like, on them, on the words on them is just because it's open to the public. You can see it. They say, like, Ionic, Doric, and it has, like, the, I believe it's a, like, grammar and.
Seven liberal arts and sciences and that sort of stuff. And I mean, those aren't even secret. And so here's a really cool thing about that. When William Preston designed that lecture, he had this vision that Freemasonry would provide like a liberal arts education to people who weren't nobility, right? Because Freemasonry had this whole like egalitarian thing going on where like everybody's equal, everybody's on the level, people who are just tradesmen can join alongside people who are nobility, and like everybody meets on the level.
Well, that's because that's how it that's what's real.
Yeah.
So that's actually what's real.
So his original lectures took days and days and days to give because they would be like lessons. They'd be like, okay, today we're going to have a lesson in geometry. And which is cool, right?
Absolutely geometry, yes. Yeah.
And now it's totally different. Now in Oregon, the Fellowcraft lecture is the shortest one.
Oh, boo. You know what? Dude, when I was joining, I ended up, my mentor was, he brought me out to get some coffee and a bagel. And he says, you know, we were talking about the Holy Gift. As you can see, I was interviewed about that. And in the title, it says Trivium and Quadrivium, right?
Mm-hmm.
Which a foundational part of, I got that from Tragedy and Hope, by the way, is where I learned about that. Mark Passio and all that stuff, right? That's when I started to learn about that. So, and they talk about the famous Roman centurion, of the Roman centurion who began to teach the lower nope classes, you know, the trivium and quadrivium, and they threatened his family and his life, basically, like, if you teach the slaves that, we will execute you. That's our bread and butter. That's why we're up here and they're down there.
Mm-hmm. You know
what I'm saying? So that's just a famous, so I got the trivium and the quadrivium for that, and it even fits into the Holy Gift again, because parabole is how it starts off, and then it goes to parabola, which is, you go off in those directions. And it's all to say that part of the foundational experience of being in this reality, those seven topics are still as germane as any. They are found, they're necessary but not sufficient, but they're still necessary.
Oh yeah. Yeah. They're still a total foundation for sure. And looking at how they are interrelated, I have this quote stuck in my head that I bring up a lot at Fellowcraft Degrees, and I can't remember where it's from. But it's talking about the relationship between number and time, and how, you know, the quadrivium is all sort of like math or hard science based. You have arithmetic, which is number. You have geometry, which is number in space. You have music, which is number in time. And then you have astronomy, which is number in space and time.
Which is amazing, Doctor Who style.
Yeah, it's totally, by the time you're done with your Fellowcraft degree, you should be a Time Lord.
I think you just gave it away, dude. We're both gonna get killed.
Oh
now.
Dang! I'll bleep it out. I'll bleep it out.
They knew too much. Yeah, man. Speaking of Doctor Who, you totally like that's my blanket behind me and such. But like, yeah, you do notice that they have like the St. John's Ambulance logo on there and such.
Oh yeah.
There's a great Midnight Freemasons article on is Doctor Who Masonic related. So yeah, I'll plug that.
Oh, I got to read that. I got to see that. It would take a lot to convince me. I've watched a ton of Doctor Who.
Ooh, it's my not so secret dream to be the first American Doctor Who. I mean, now that we have a female Doctor Who, I say my horse is in the brace.
Hey, you know, take some acting classes, head on over to BBC and just audition, I'd say.
I don't need to take the acting classes because I am an actual Time Lord.
Oh, there you go. Just zap over in your TARDIS.
That would look pretty awkward if I used the blanket target. What are you wearing? Okay. Anyway. But hold the phone, America. Yeah. I think we'll go back to Christopher Eccleston now. Yeah. Oh God, no. That poor guy got mooched by the pooch, you know. Hey, no, you know what's funny is I have the same birthday as Rose, as Billy Piper.
Oh, really? Is she that old?
What? She's older than me. I think she's like 3 years older than me or 2 years or something. Yeah.
I mean, I forget that, like, when I saw Billy Piper and Doctor Who, that was 10 years ago or something, wasn't it? Man. That was kind of a while ago now.
Yeah, but she has that smile. Man, she is pretty as a peach, man. Seriously.
She is. Lord. I'll find a picture of her and put it in the show notes.
Oh my God, you have to just replace our faces.
With Billy Piper. Tonight on My Chemical Bromance, Billy Piper interviews Billy Piper about Freemasonry.
Gets the most ratings ever. And then Billy Piper calls in and it gets all metaphysics. The time eats itself anyways.
Oh man, she must be on Twitter. I can send her the link to our chat.
That's she'll listen to that like in the other dimension.
Yeah.
I actually, you know what's interesting, like all this stuff is real, like it's so very fascinating, and I think that like I just without saying too much, honestly, I think that we're just as far as brothers in masonry goes specifically, mm-hmm. I think that we're heading towards a renaissance. If the likes of Whence Came You and a lot of the other signs that I've been seeing in the craft, I think we're heading towards a really good time for the craft. I think.
Oh man,
I have. Huh.
I totally agree.
I think it's happening.
Yeah, I love seeing it. And it's, you know, I mean, it's funny because it happens sort of in bubbles, kind of across the nation. So you still see a lot of struggle, kind of in some of the Grand Lodges in the South. Stuff happening. Yeah, but then
right in Alabama, there I just saw Freemasonry for Dummies or what something. Mm-hmm. Just one of the lodges didn't recognize another one or something. I mean, come on. Yeah.
And then in
are you gonna try to like build a wall now?
Yeah, but I mean the younger Masons, like the new generation of Masons that's coming in, like they're really into. Yep. Kind of the esoteric stuff,
esoterics,
the deeper parts of Freemasonry and the stuff that's really fascinating. Oh yeah, and then
that's why it's happening. We're bringing the meat back to the potatoes.
Oh, absolutely. We're putting the sour cream back on the potato for sure.
Oh, bacon bits and cheddar. Oh, a whole field full of smashed potatoes. All right. That daydream escalated quickly.
Yeah, go ahead. So in Oregon, our Grand Lodge is really small, right? So we've got like maybe 8,000. No, actually, we probably have like 5,000 or 6,000 people in our Grand Lodge.
Okay.
And
I still don't know what an official. I still don't know enough to gauge a lodge size right now.
Well, I would suspect that Massachusetts probably has like 50,000 people in its Grand Lodge. 20,000. Wow. It's big, right? Like there are charts online.
There's a big number of difference there. It's a 30,000 spread.
I don't have everything memorized.
The pot calling the kettle a moose. Come on. Yeah. I don't know.
I think California and Pennsylvania are the two biggest, and they've got right around 100,000 each.
Pennsylvania and California. California surprises me only by the virtue that it's California, but I mean, there's a lot of people.
It's got like a zillion people in it, you know.
Gazillion, yeah. But Pennsylvania makes sense. And then every time on Twitter, we're gonna have to get into the Twin Peaks at some point, because mm-hmm. honestly, okay, you know, I'm a cult fan that comes from a video game called Final Fantasy VIII. Uh-huh. One of my psychic guiding factors in life is television, film. I'm very into that. Mm-hmm. Other guys, like, okay, there are people who do it right, like Worshipful, I believe he's right, Worshipful, but I don't know. But Brother Robert Robert Johnson's on Wednesday. Robert Sullivan the Fourth is who I'm trying to say. The guy who just there are people who do it wrong too, and uh-huh. they get all weird. But so to get to the point, I've been guided by that. One of the main things that really for me, because I didn't find out that my grandparents were Masons till after I'm a Mason, basically, mm-hmm. Was Twin Peaks. The secret history of Twin Peaks actually inspired me to join Masonry. And it was from like a part of the book. I literally have it right next to me.
I do too, I think. You're talking about the green.
You got to be kidding me, bro. Oh, perfect.
It's kind of under a pile. So there might be
mine was too.
There might be a really loud noise here.
Hey, I opened to the right page, so that's good. Oh, there's a Hey, this is a live interactive. This is good. This is the organic of the show.
This is what happens when you do research on like five different projects and everything ends up in this book.
I know that one. Yes, yeah, exactly.
Secret History of Twin Peaks.
If you open up to page like, I got a candle here for light. Like 33, I opened up to. I literally do 33. Open up to the page before 33 about.
Okay.
I had to say 33, but that's literally the page I opened to then.
Oh, look at that.
Yeah. So that's one of the things that made me joy. Do you want to hold that up to the cam?
Oh, sure. I mean, I'm not recording video.
Oh, you're not doing video? No, that's not the page.
Oh, this is page 32 and 33, but it does talk. This.
Yes.
So it's a picture of Meriwether Lewis's bloodstained apron. Right, because one of the things that happens in The Secret History of Twin Peaks is
Lewis, the white hats versus the black hats.
Oh, yeah, but Lewis and Clark have that interaction with the Black Lodge or something like that that drives one of them kind of crazy. I don't remember exactly what it was, but...
There's, as far as I can tell, well, I don't know. I'd have to go back and look. I don't know if it exactly went down that way. I know Lewis gets murdered by a bunch of, like, a vagabond or that by that bad guy.
Oh, yeah, he gets jumped by a ton of guys and killed, and then he had his apron wadded up in his pocket, and it had blood on it.
That's it.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, this is like this book is integral to my life. Like I've had very so these things connect to me very deeply. So one of the reasons I joined was as far as I could tell, I felt like such a passion for this. And then, you know, I was a Boy Scout for a set period of time. It was more about like experiences that I had rather than the merit badges. But the point is that, you know, something about it rung true to me. Like, you know, people like Dark Journalist, I'd say he's like a Men in Black who wears a white hat. I'd consider myself a similar set. You know, I mean, like I like the occult, but like I want to evolve the human race, if you will. Does that make sense?
Yeah, but I think that's totally part of the occult. You know, I mean, if you
alchemy.
well, sure, but also like you know, this is something that that Vayu Tiger, like Robert Powell, talks about a little bit, but that I've thought is sort of it's a core message in Freemasonry. It's a core message in a lot of sort of esoteric or spiritual traditions that are tied to religion, which is that like virtue and acting correctly and all this sort of stuff are like a core occult practice. And not only that, but like, you know, and we teach each other this in Freemasonry, is that one of the things that we're supposed to be doing is being good people and being good examples that we show each other. Oh, hey, it's okay to be good. Be good with us. And
that is so true.
Yeah. And that's evolving humanity. Yeah.
That, well, it's also like, I just think of like how the Native Americans are mentioned in the Twin Peaks books. And one of the things that we're going to have to do as a role model is implement permaculture, is to be part of the town's boards and to implement fixes in our communities and spread that out. Like, those are the bubbles that need to spread. Mm-hmm. We need to take control of this machine. We need to put more life back into it. There's a whole set of things that slowly, by increment, not only have to be done, but will be done. But it also has to do with improving the moral character of the majority of the communities. Good people will make good life choices. Good life choices include permaculture.
Yeah. Yeah, that's probably true. I haven't really spent a whole lot of time thinking about permaculture lately, but my ex-wife was really into it.
We are all one human body. We're not just a human family. But yes, that's a good. You said you have people who are around, so you already have some experience with.
Yeah,
it.
Yeah. I already know a little bit about it, and I should probably do some more reading on it. I don't really have any space for gardening in around where I am. My apartment includes a porch. That's it.
I hear you. That's one of those things where like life, like this gets into like deeper conversations than we need to get into now, but like I mean, like I'm just gonna say, where there's a will, there's a way.
Yeah,
and not everything has to happen right now. We have to start from where we're at. Maybe the five, you know, what's the difference between the 3-month plan where it's like, oh, I have a small basil thing going on the windowsill, and oh, I used to have a couple of things over here, but now it's a small, you know, spice garden or something. You know, like little steps if anyone understands, that's how you get better at life, and that's a type of alchemy. Like, that's, I understand that. Like, it's little by little, as we recall from our first degree.
Yeah, yeah. Hey, so before we started recording, you were mentioning that you wanted to talk about Gravity Falls.
I was like, he's going to say Gravity
Falls. I was going to say Gravity Falls, and I did say Gravity Falls. Now, Gravity Falls, like, for those of you out there who haven't watched it, it's a cartoon that I suppose was probably marketed as a children's cartoon, but it is really, like, parts of it are really, really
dark. Man, I was dark. This close to eating you, Steve.
It's a really amazing cartoon that takes place in a mysterious small town in Oregon that around which there's all this weird stuff going on, and it's really cool, and it's really, you know, I mean, it's a total conspiracy theory cartoon, yeah. Where all the conspiracies end up being true, and it's got, like, you know, it's got monsters and creatures and magic and UFOs. Oh man, the UFO thing, like, that's, and there's a lot of,
it's the town,
oh, yeah. But there's all these, like, revelations that happen throughout it too, where the story gets richer and richer and deeper and deeper and deeper.
We should definitely be mildly spoiler conscientious.
Oh yeah, I haven't said anything spoilery yet because
nothing specific, but, either.
Yeah. You know, one of these days we should probably have a Gravity Falls specific episode where we start off by saying, if you haven't watched Gravity Falls, skip this episode.
You and I will make mastery out of that.
But
we have such a love for the show. Oh, I can tell you, it's going to be pretty.
It's a really beautiful show, and it's fun. And the nice thing about it is, it went for what, like, two seasons, and then it was over. And they're like,
I was looking it up this morning. Uh-huh. I guess I was preparing for this, like, you know, the way that we don't know we do. But I was looking it up. It's 20. It's 20 episodes. What, per two seasons? Mm-hmm. So there's 40 episodes. And they spaced them out. It was so weird how they released it. They would do, like, spurts at a time, like 8 episodes, uh-huh, over a few months, then, like, wait a few months, and then, like, two, like, one in February, one in March, and then wait till July, and then,
huh.
But they would make it an event, I guess, which goes with the show. Funny enough, I was introduced to it, and at first, I guess I was in a place in my life in 2013. I was like, oh, it's a kid show. It's just, you know, I was being dismissive of it. You know, and then I suddenly watched it a few years later. I'm like, this is the best thing I've ever seen in my life.
Yeah, I love that show. Well, so one of the Masonic connections is that the main character, or one of the main characters, Uncle Stan, Grunkle Stan, wears a fez, and
never gonna do it without the fez, yeah, on. I had to include,
and it might, and it's definitely, like, a reference to Shriners, who are Masons.
It is,
and then you'll see, you know, there's, like, an all-seeing eye that shows up in the background a lot. There's all sorts of,
like, in their window.
Oh yeah, in the window. There's just interesting clues all over the place that, you know, I don't know that any of it is, like, directly related to Freemasonry, but they're definitely trying to invoke that feeling that, like,
well, Disney has that famous Club 33, oh, and yeah, you know, Disney was a Malay, mm-hmm, and, you know, go to the tinfoil hat part of the internet for that stuff. But yes,
isn't that most of the internet these days?
Yeah, you're looking at it, bud.
Yeah.
Jesus, with this 5G, we're not going to get into the 5G, but I swear to God, dude, I'm just going to go out and just say, like, I feel like there's a higher pitch in the air. I can almost hear it, but I feel like the world is, like slightly heating up like a microwave. I'm not going to Chicken Little anything. Dude, I'm just going to say,
global warming.
It's harder to sleep these days.
Hmm? Global warming.
Oh God. Jesus. The only there's no icebergs tipping, it's just his wife. This is madness. silly he's Tipper Gore, just to explain. This is he's a shill, he's a puppet, he's a flake. Yeah, you know what? Go to a Freemason for this stuff. Randall Carlson will set you straight.
I
wasn't talking about you. I was making the ubiquitous, not you, Eric, mm-hmm, like the ubiquitous you. Do you believe in global warming as a thing? We don't have to go any further, but I believe that we're in a big cycle.
Maybe we're in a cycle. I don't know. There's definitely some really uncomfortable climate change going on, though. I mean, I've seen the climate act differently since I was a kid. I've lived in the same spot my entire life, or the same part of the country my entire life. So I've had a really good opportunity, okay, to see how things change. And it's definitely not the same.
Chemtrails are for sure a part of that.
I don't know. Chemtrails sound like bullshit to me. So I don't really pay attention to those.
No, I mean, we can have a respectful conversation.
Yeah, like, you're right. That's true. I'm sorry. Different... I'm sorry that I said bullshit. That was very.
No, it's good. No, worries. You could have said worse, but and isn't it funny how we get so attached to these things, mm-hmm. which is what Freemasonry is good for, because it reminds us, okay, hold on, you know, everyone has their, because that's what I'm doing right now. Everyone sees things their own way sometimes, or sometimes meaning all the time. Did you see the latest? Let's circle back to Gravity Falls via X-Files. And have you seen the last season?
The new one that just came out?
Yeah.
No, I haven't seen any of it. I don't know anything about it. I saw some previews and that's about it. I saw the one that came out last year, the year before, where they had
that travesty, that train wreck.
Yeah, it wasn't super good.
It was awful.
It had a couple.
Chris knows so far as to say it's not canonical. I disagree.
Really?
I mean, it's obviously, you know, that's how bad it was that on Giza Death Star chat, we actually had one of the people from X-Files, you know, because these people read Joseph Farrell, mm-hmm. Solari, Dark Journalist. These people are hot on the button. That's part of the memetics of it all. That's why they're part of the meta mind. But I digress, even though that's an extremely important point. On that very chat, I won't say the person's name, obviously, but they were like, oh, you know, we just wrapped up filming. And people like Joseph and I were like, no more. Stop with that. So when Chris says that it's not canonical, like that, it was a travesty. But this season was good. I just want to say, like, they get into the Mandela effect and they do a perfect job, to the point where, like, I wish I could talk. I'll just say, like, they have this guy on top of the tower doing that. On top of the Washington Monument, in fact, one of the main villains of that episode, and he's wearing a Trump hat. and it's so good because that ties into that whole Keck prophecy thing, that Trump got elected by the Mandela effect. And now, Dark Journalist, let me finish up this thought to bring it back to Gravity
Falls.
Wait,
hold on. Trump got elected because of the Mandela effect?
There's way too much going on. Moving parts, okay. People. Let me just. Dark Journalist just released the most mind-blowing proof that there is a connection to basically Nazi secret tech, or the UFO problem, as you call it, which is really you know, about free energy and higher like anti-gravity tech, you know, stuff like UFOs, mm-hmm. military stuff like that. You know, not like Tom DeLonge, who's complete fake, mm-hmm. just. That's that. But to say that he released this thing with this art by this guy named Carl Delshow, and in it, it's called the 4500 series. Trump's name is mentioned in there. And you really have to watch this last week's episode to see how it all connects. But minds will be blown, and it connects to the UFOs, which connects us back to Gravity Falls, because Gravity Falls is all about portal technology, interdimensionals, entities. Am I right?
That's all true. Yes, that's true. Yes, that's totally...
Bill Cipher, right?
Oh, yeah.
He invades them. These are some slight spoilers, people, but it's kind of a huge arc thing. So Bill invades the mind of, you know, a character.
Yeah.
Because that's kind of, I don't want to say who, because that's kind of.
Multiple characters get their minds invaded by Bill Cipher. I mean, it's kind of an ongoing problem. Once they discover him, you know, once Bill Cipher comes in.
Isn't that like how he got it? It was like a Faustian pact. Almost.
Oh yeah, totally. Once they reveal that, we shouldn't spoil that though, because that's a great reveal.
We're not going to say exactly. That's one of the reals. That's why I danced around. Well, that's why you were smart to say a lot of people do. But without going into those details, So I mean, like. They really do a great job, like, evolving it, like how the X-Files kind of like made the story bigger and deeper. Mm-hmm. They really did a great job by doing that. But like, yeah, we do have like a UFO tech in that, don't we? We have some like interdimensional portal tech.
Yeah. Hold on. Okay, I have another question for you. You've kind of gone off into a realm that I'm not super familiar with. You keep saying Dark Reporter. Or some
dark journalist. His name is Daniel List, and he's out of Cambridge, Massachusetts.
And what is Dark Journalist?
On Friday nights, he does a live show and you can interact with him and you can go to his website and get a subscription for a year for like, I think it's like $49 right now. It's on sale. I heavily encourage, I endorse him.
Okay.
Like, obviously I'm doing important work.
And what does he talk about? Just like the stuff you're just saying with Donald Trump and the Mandela effect?
No. Sorry. Okay. That was, the Donald Trump thing is, see, this is why this is so, it's getting to the point where we're entering the near end of the Kali Yuga. I'm pretty sure we're about to get into a new era, but so everything's getting really weird. I think you have noticed, Eric, synchronicity's picking up, right?
I don't know that I've noticed synchronicity's picking up, but I have noticed things getting weirder. Yeah.
Okay. Some people have said commonly these days, I've noticed that synchronicity seems to be picking up. And I actually asked Austin Kopic on a thing if that was a generational thing, but that still is yet to be determined.
Yeah.
But it could be the space weather, or it could be option C or D or whatever. But to get back to the point, though, so you asked me about the Trump thing, which was that, Dark Journalist talks about how Richard Nixon wanted to be the disclosure president of this energy secret, which, like, if you're in control of it, you control the world. Just like if you control the past, you control the future, Orwellian style. Mm-hmm. So a major part of like all of this, like, you know, what we're going through right now with synchronicity and this Mandela effect and Trump being predicted president by that 777777 thing on the 4chan board. Mm-hmm. That's ATL Carver's work there. And Tracy Twyman has touched on that as well. And I think, the point is that, you know, there's been all these different kinds of like strange high magical events, high weirdness, 40 events around the Donald Trump being on this 4500 series, Trump's uncle being the one who cleaned out Tesla's apartment, closely watched by the FBI.
I never heard about that. Trump,
and well, I'm kind of giving away Dan's show here, but yeah, this is some Walter Bosley level stuff. Like Bosley was on his show the week before, and Farrell was on his week before on the week before. So to wrap it up, just to wrap up that point, yeah, dude, there's a lot of stuff going on right now in real time that's going on like super high as in the principalities we face, right? You know, so as in heaven, mm-hmm. there's a pearly few drops drop down and everyone's having sex with mermaids now, apparently. Pardon my, but seriously, what the heck? I'm stuck on that. It's like a mousetrap for the
moment. I have no idea. Why is that what? People
are Mojo Toro, what have you done to us?
People are having sex with mermaids?
You don't know about that Shape of Water movie?
Oh, you know, I have heard of it, but I have not gone to see it. I'm a little culturally stifled. So, you know, I've got a lot of stuff to read.
I just watched The Titan today as well. Yeah,
The Titan. Is that another movie?
It's a Netflix special. It's a Netflix movie, and it's about basically gene hacking, like all that CRISPR stuff that's going down. Cool. Chris Knowles has been bought. Well, it's something to watch.
Hold on, let's rewind for a second.
We're going back to the Mandela.
Trump thing. So, and this is going to tie into Twin Peaks. All right, so you've seen season 3, of course. Okay, yes. And remember episode 8 with the nukes and the weird frog bug and like all that kind of stuff.
That's on my Twitter thing. That's what I have my music. It says, this is the water. This is the well, drink full and descend.
The horse is the white of the eyes and dark within.
The horse is the white of the, yes.
Man, I'm sleepy. No.
Oh, Jesus. Yeah. Your eyes start flickering.
Yeah. Got a light.
You take off your face and like bite the neck of the person nearest you. That was honestly one of my favorites. See, I'm just
episode 8. So we did the math, and it looks like Trump is Judy.
Jude, like that evil.
Yeah,
thing?
Yeah, right? It works out right. Like the entry point, the 45th, and all that right? kind of stuff. Like it all sort of came together at the right point. Like he would have been. He could have been Judy.
I don't know. I don't know. I think that Trump's actually. So Trump has a letter in his office from Richard Nixon mm-hmm. from 1987 that said, if you ever, if when you run for president, you will win. and this gets deep, but Trump keeps that letter in his office. And, you know, everyone knows the ruling class is the ruling class. So I had no pretensions about him draining any golden schlump. But, you know, I mean, like, which puppet do you like? The one on the left or the right, mm-hmm. right? Well, they're both going to dance. But except for the fact that Trump actually was a better choice in that regard as far as a feud to the deep state. You know what I'm saying? So he was a, if you're playing the grand Peter Dill Scott game, then there are things that are going on and, you know, maybe we're actually in a better position right now. You know, I mean, like, if you know the name Vince Foster, you'd accuse Hillary of being Jude.
Yeah, maybe. I mean, you know, it's possible that we are in a better, it's possible that we are in a better spot, right? Like he, there's so much opposition.
I feel like that's why we got to depolarize like Freider Xavier teaches.
Oh man, it would be nice. It'd be so nice. Which is actually another nice thing about Freemasonry, right? Like, I don't know if you've had this experience yet, but,
I'm listening.
Well, I'm trying to figure out how to put this into words, but you know, like I'm friends with a lot of my Mason buddies on Facebook, and okay. People on Facebook are kind of dicks.
Yeah, you know, it's like, you know, it's the one place that's worse than that is the YouTube.
Yeah, maybe
like YouTube. YouTube's the absolute worst.
But there's a
no, it really yeah. is. But
go ahead. So anyhow, you know, but then when I meet these guys, so they'll post like these horrible, like extreme political rants and stuff on Facebook, but then when I meet them in real life, they're just totally normal people. And yeah, even though yeah, I know that they know, oh God, it gets confusing, but like, there's no secret that I don't necessarily agree with their politics. But one of the greatest things about Freemasonry is we get together and we all hang out and we're all brothers and we're all on the level and we all are nice to each other, yes. and we're friends. Yes. And it doesn't matter.
We actually care about
you. Oh yeah. And it doesn't matter what religion you are. It doesn't matter
yep,
what exactly. side of the political spectrum or which edge of the political spectrum you're on.
Yep.
It, you know, what we're supposed to do is like look at each other as fellow human beings and be like, okay, none of us is the smartest person in the room. None of us really knows what the hell is going on all over the place.
Thank God I'm not.
we're all on the same planet, yeah. hurtling towards doom. And so we should probably be working together.
It's okay. So let me quote Schism directly too. We are doomed to crumble unless we grow, strengthening our communication.
Mm-hmm. That makes sense.
No, well, what's right? Community is in there. Commune. Mm-hmm. We are one human family. We're a human body. We are one. Mm-hmm. You hurt me, you hurt yourself. I hurt you, I hurt myself. This is not speculation. This is fact.
It is. Okay, there's one more thing that I want to talk to you about with the Fellowcraft stuff.
Yeah, we definitely have a few more things to cover.
Yeah, here, so, and I'm yeah, kind of up? So this is something that I don't know how much time you've spent really thinking about it, but like the connection between Freemasonry and the mysteries.
Okay, because this is perfect. Because like one of the things in Twin Peaks, let's just keep using because it's a, mm-hmm. it's how we do. You remember those portals?
Yeah,
from the sky. And you remember how that was connected to interdimensional and moving into that realm that like that place that was all like episode 8, that was and that was like that non-existence place. Mm-hmm. Those were different levels of the tree of life and different kind of like paths that one can walk in a way, I guess. I don't know enough like of Enochian or Chinese or Tantra yet. But well, it's because I'm still just a schlubby butt who eats bad and doesn't do the right stuff yet. But we're cleaning house. So moving forward is like when you look into like the different portals and things like that, I asked you can find my question. I'll send it to you later. You could show notes it. But I asked a question and it got answered in the chat and it was about, and his answer I found interesting. And I asked it innocently out of like the Twin Peaks. I said, is there something to do? Is it cause like JPL and stuff, Jack Parsons lab, mm-hmm. you know,
it shows up in the Secret History,
Sex and Rockets. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So, and even Douglas Milford, which is interesting. I grew up in Medway, in the town next to Medway is Milford. And my dad's name is Douglas. So Douglas Milford. No, dude, trust me. All of my family's names show up in Twin Peaks. Oh, my dude. No,
that's
dude,
crazy.
Dude, like, no, dude. Like, I'm just saying, dude. I used to do that better. Like 21. Oh, dude, don't get me started on Venture Bros. That's a whole other Oh my
god. Oh man. So it's a great show.
It's a movie. Dude, all right. I think you can start bleeping out the dudes. Okay, so to get to the point, yeah, portals. I asked Daniel, is it maybe the fact that it's not so much to do it because we're not leaving this sphere? You're going to smash up against the, anyways, Van Allen, what? Van Halen, the Van Halen radiation belt. Fake the land. Okay, so the point is that who cares, right? Mm-hmm. Tracy Twyman, back me up here. The point is that when you realize that it's not so much about rockets smashing through things and like, oh my god, show me some space pictures, not that CGI, please. The point is that when you look at this stuff, it's, I asked Daniel to get to the point, is it more to do with portals, consciousness, interdimensionality, and occult magic / Enochian? And Daniel answered in a very interesting way. But, you know, I'd rather just direct people to find out what he says. But he says Masons in his response 3 times. I counted. I was seeing what he was doing because there's stuff that's going on. So, because when you're that smart, you're playing at a different level. And it's so fun to, I love really smart people because it's like they're doing what a Gravity Falls does. They're putting things into play that you're not fully in. I think we both know what we're saying, of course. And that's the rabbit hole. Mm-hmm. But so the answer was very elucidating. And I think that we have to look at Twin Peaks and what we said earlier about bringing masonry into a place where it's really doing its work. And I think that all of these things, without giving anything away, without anything, and I say this completely out of the goodness of saying, we can make really powerful things happen and we don't have to be super occulty about it. But I mean, the fact is we are going to have to say that we're either using magic for selfish aims or whatever our consciousnesses are. Alan Moore would put it simply as psychology, art, and changing the consciousness through will or however you would. But I mean, it's pretty obvious that like we are white hats. I think that's what I'm trying to say. And I think, you know, in the Twin Peaks book, they talk about the war between Freemasonry and the Illuminati. Well, you know, who knows what's really going on? And that's such a strange thing, but... Mm-hmm. You know, I really feel empathy and I really want to see people achieve a better way of being. And, you know, we can do that without selling people. We can do that without murdering people. We can do that without, you know, who knows if war can stop. I don't know, but that's kind of my point. You know, we have to figure something out.
I feel like I'm sure that we can get war to stop.
Like the vaults.
I think that the secret is going to be, first, we have to solve greed.
I mean, there's more than enough for everyone.
I know, there's absolutely more than enough for everyone. So I feel like if we can solve greed, we can solve war. There's probably some other vices that are going to get in the way, too. Jealousy is another one. Like, I don't know. You know, in the Corpus Hermeticum, there's this passage. Let me see if I can find it real fast.
Sure.
It might be...
I asked the same thing to Greg Carlwood when he did one of his interview, his question shows. He says, a cult fan asks, and I basically asked, do you think we'll be able to help the damn world? And he's like, he answered pretty much like, no, man, I think we're pretty much up Schitt's Creek. Pardon my language. bleep that out.
So
that was my...
I already said bullshit a couple times, so we're just it's just going to be a language with swearing in it. You can... Okay, so in the Corpus Hermeticum, book 13 of the Corpus Hermeticum is an initiation book, and it sort of tells the story of Tats, that's Hermes' son, getting to the next level. Like that, I'm not sure if it's like a third degree or a second degree or whatever it is, but there's this part where Hermes is like, you know, if you want to be enlightened, you have to take care of these 12 torments. Says, ignorance, my child, is the first torment. The second is grief. The third is incontinence. The fourth, lust. The fifth, injustice. The sixth, greed. The seventh, deceit. The eighth, envy. The ninth, treachery. The tenth, anger. The 11th, recklessness. And the 12th, malice.
I like that.
And then he lists all the tools that you have to to get over them, like the powers. He's like, you get these powers once you are initiated, and you can use those to fight the torments.
I mean, like, this is when we say that we're remembering, I feel like I think we know how we're supposed to be, every single one of us.
I think so too. I, you know, I've talked about this before. Like the, you know, I had a moment of realization at some point about like just being good, you know, where,
yeah,
where it is a pretty easy choice to make, where you just sort of, but it feels improbable when you are sort of sitting there looking at it being like, wait, I can just choose this. And it changes, right. And it changes everything. It changes the way you look at stuff. I don't know if it's really an on and off switch. It doesn't seem to be treated like that a lot.
Well, we have our neurology and we have patterns. Mm-hmm. I mean, to give a quick to validate what you're saying and to give a quick example in countermeasure or continuity measure, I should say. You have the image of a mountain with a river, a stream at the top. Trickles down, and what's it going to do? It's going to form a path. So there's your impetus, and then there's your behavior pattern. But you can choose to slowly trickle, but and that's going to, you know, take as much time to forge another path. But that one's always there, ready for you to slide right back down it. That's what alcohol. That's like that's how humans work, and we learn patterns for a reason. If we didn't have that, it would be such a foolish thing to have. Mm-hmm. So it makes sense why we have evolved, you know, or been designed. Telomere wise, do you know what I'm talking about by that, by the way? Yeah, that's a whole mind, that's a mind trip.
Isn't that weird?
That's a, I just
like,
I didn't know about that. Let's shift gears, because we covered that before. So telomeres, what the crud.
Well, telomeres are like a protein that wraps around your genes that wears off every time your cells replicate or something. It's basically it's a built-in kill switch. It's basically saying, like, at some point you don't get to have your genes aren't going to do shit anymore,
but there's two of them. Well, that's good, though, right? For the nature of life.
But it's still messed Saturn up.
Well, no, but here's what's messed up. There's apparently an argument that proves that, you know, because like people like Gordon White talk about the pig chimp hybrid thing on Higher Side chats, you know, that we were created by some kind of like Anunnaki or Enki Enlil kind of thing. Right. And even Final Fantasy IX, I'd love to bring this up. Final Fantasy IX, this is something I'll be working on in the future. Final Fantasy IX has this plot that talks about, you know, these beings are basically created by this like higher skyship starship beings. And so what I'm talking about the telomeres is that, and I saw this, you know, it's not the highest praise, but I saw it on Greg Braden, and I like him. But he was talking about how our telomeres are fused in two different places or in something like that. And I was just like, isn't that interesting? Because the argument that they're making is that it took some kind of like, as if we were like scientifically created almost, is what you get out of that. And that has to do with that, the Titan movie today, because it's about genetic enhancements of people. And like this goes like all the way, like I could just keep going, but like, yeah, this gets into very intense topics about the Nephilim and humans being created. And, you know, what evolution is, and, you know, 46 and 2 are just ahead of me kind of stuff.
That's a ton of stuff that I don't even know where to start with any of it, really. But I do think we should leave some stuff to talk about for next time, right? Because I want to do another one of these after you get your Master Mason degree, which is happening soon.
I mean, like, I definitely don't think we have to worry about having
it. Yeah, I don't think so either. But when is your Master Mason degree happening? Is it? It's like next week, right?
Well, even less than a week now. On Monday, April 9th.
Monday, April 9th. That means that you're going to get your Master Mason degree like 2 days before this episode comes out.
Oh, rad. Yeah.
So you can go back and listen to this afterwards, and you'll just be like, oh, when I was a fellow craft, I was so foolish. No, that won't happen. but it'll be.
I was gonna say, I'd probably if any man stops to think that he was a fool in the past, he's probably missing some of his folly in the present moment.
Oh, absolutely. Well, cool. But anyhow, do you want?
Could I
I
like to finish. I would love to end on this point and then do the thing. Okay. I actually, yeah, geez, there's so much we didn't even touch. But the point is, one thing I was thinking, one of the revelations I had recently about the Holy Gift that I'm working on is that ticks and leeches, one of the ways to look at that is talking about, if you can imagine like your thoughts of like nostalgia or of the past or even of like, you know, someone or anything that's not being, you know, in your present moment or where you want to go with your will. Mm-hmm. That's the ticking of the time, first of all, leeching away from you, but that's the energy being leached away from you. And that's like a psychic vampire. That's like, it's stealing your time from your productivity.
You think that, so that, that reminiscing about the past is stealing time, is like a,
it's part of,
huh? But
it's all connected to it. And that's what the ticks and leeches thing was. And we were saying something that made me think of that, but yeah, it was really, it's related to that idea.
Well, but what about the idea that learning is remembering?
Learning is remembering. So, I mean, like that, I think that fits in sympathetically. Like if what we're supposed to be doing is getting to that point of like being whole or natural, mm-hmm. and remembering who we are, like you're leeching away from that by looking at all these things that were coming before. That's not the same remembering. You see?
Okay. Yeah, I see.
There's different type. Cause like one of the things I wanted to touch on was like, I've been reading Time in the Rose Garden by Anthony Peake. Uh-huh. And I've also been watching The Twilight Zone for the first time in my life. And my goodness, man, the sinks are off the chart. I'm just like, to end with this, I released an article, the other day on my blog that I've been meaning to write for a long time, uh-huh. about palmistry and Twin Peaks. It's a quick article.
You said,
I'd love it if you
palmistry, like,
yep, like I'm doing, yep. And on an episode of the Twilight Zone today, like the day after I released the article yesterday or whatever, there's a big sign that says palmistry, and I'm just like, okay. I mean, like, but like, and it's not just that simple.
No, I mean, it's a total synchronicity, of course. Like that's fascinating.
But yeah, that's it. I was going to mention about time and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. And like, but we can talk about that another time.
Ooh. Well, let's do it. So where is your blog? How do people get to your blog?
My blog is, it's my Master No Self blog is the title of it. But it's just Occult Fan WordPress, however you want to do that. You go to occultfan.wordpress, I believe, okay. And you'll find it there. But it's the title of this one is... it's got the two little peakety, you know, like control 7 or whatever.
Oh yeah. The little, the carrots, the hats.
Yeah. Yeah. The carrots. It's got happy carrots. I made the Twin Peaks out of happy carrots. And the title of the article itself is, Twin Peaks, Fatalist Palmistry with more peaky things at the end. And of course that's referencing the lyrics by the band. Why I Sleep On. Well, you can read it in the article.
Great. Yes. I look forward to it. And I will make sure that all of the people, I'll put a link to it on Billy Piper's picture. So when they click on Billy Piper, it'll take them to that article.
And that's great because they're going to get that subliminal hit.
Yeah.
Also, I have the occultfan.com. That's my site. And
is that new?
No, man, I've owned that for like 10 years.
Oh, cool. Okay.
Yeah, just see, like I'm doing that now because no one knows I even. So this is, yeah, this is. And I also, if for my music, which I definitely encourage you, like Arsenic, we can link mm-hmm. there. But it's a Bandcamp, not any of the others. Bandcamp.
Okay, yeah, I'll link to that too. I'm looking forward to hearing that song and having a critical role in the remix. Yeah.
Well, this, you're righteous. You know, this is a really nice chat. I enjoy this.
Yeah,
and,
me too.
Thank you for having me.
Of course. Yeah. So, and then we're Mile Chemical Bromance, and you can find us on the internet at milechemicalbromance.com and on iTunes and Stitcher and like all the other podcasty things. So thanks, Nathan Lee. It was nice to have you on again. And
Could I say, make sure you rate him on iTunes, please? Give him the ratings on the iTunes.
Yeah, like 5 stars. 6 if you can do it.
Like, give him 17 out of 5, please. Otherwise, you're failing.
Yeah, and we don't want you to fail me, Internet.
No one can. Eric is the secret overlord of the Internet. He will know if you've been naughty, people.
It's true. It's my Freemason title. Okay.
Now you've given away another secret.
Oh, no. It's okay. I'm going to stop recording right now. My Alchemical Bromance is sponsored by Miskatonic Books.
Miskatonic Books is an online bookstore that focuses on rare, limited edition, and custom-made books of the highest quality. They specialize in books on the occult, ceremonial magic, Freemasonry, Rosicrucianism, Hermeticism, and other topics of interest to you, our listeners. Check them out on the web at miskatonicbooks.com.
I'm not going to be able to do that.